Let's go to the word of the Lord. Three places we're going to read from. The title of the sermon is The Power of New Birth. Everybody say the power of new birth. Because we are on the way of new birth. It's Minister Siobhan that read to us the scripture verse, and that's our first scripture verse. Out of 2 Corinthians verse 5 and 17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Then we go to James, the first chapter, and verse 17 to 18. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, whatever is good, whatever is perfect, is a gift coming to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word, and we out of all creation became His prized possession. Then we jump to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. For you have been born again, but not a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. So by way of introduction this morning, I was watching a documentary, and I would advise everybody to go watch it. If you have access to Apple TV Plus, it's called The Year Earth Changed. The Year Earth Changed. It's a beautiful depiction of new birth, rebirth within the animal kingdom. And this is following what happened during the time of the hard lockdown in 2020. So the year the earth changed was specifically filmed throughout. So all the people that were conservationists, they made their own amateur films and they sent it in. Suddenly, and the animal population groups on the endangered species list had a moment to experience rapid numbers of new births, lifting their chances of survival. So new births across the animal kingdom. It was amazing to watch and see how nature responded to silence, how nature responded to the lack of humanity. You know, we go on safari trips and we go through the lion park and there's cars after cars after cars. So during lockdown, there was no movement of humans in the spaces where the animals naturally lived. One of the most amazing stories was one of the most populous cities in India called Jalandhar. Over 200 kilometers away from the city is the highest mountain range in the world called the Himalayas. The smog, the air pollution, was so bad that for over 30 years, the people did not even see the mountain. So during 2020, when India imposed their hard lockdown, within 12 days, people could see the mountain range. 30 years is almost two generations of people. Two generations of people that didn't even know there was a mountain on the doorstep of their homes. 12 days, new birth. The earth, creation, nature, the animal world responded with new birth. Numbers that were in decline suddenly start to spike again. This, my brothers and sisters, if you look across Africa as well, the plains, the wetlands, the nature reserves, and oceans recorded numbers of animal species replenishing at rapid rates. New birth. You would see the cheetahs. Cheetahs used to only give birth over this last couple of years to one cub. Suddenly they started giving birth to three. Then you would see the penguin population around the coast of South Africa also starting to increase because now they were left and there was nobody on the beaches and they could go and come and go and do what they needed to do. But now, when we contrast the animal world with humanity, and specifically with church. The church did not experience new birth. From 2020 to 2022, we saw a decline in church. Yes, we understand that the pandemic cost us many lives. But in the church world, across the church world, not just here in Siloam, we saw a decline in numbers because we were so concerned with maintaining our churches, maintaining our people. This church that you are seated in this morning lost over 1,000 people. 1,000 people walked away from church. Many may have returned, but some are still missing. And we were called to survive, to maintain. One of the things I said to Janine during that time when we were walking, I said to one of the things that keep me up at night was, did we do enough to ground people in the things of God? Did we do enough to grow people into the things of God? That's why I am now specifically set upon this thing of the way of the disciple. Because when a moment in time like this, a cataclysmic event, the size of the pandemic hits us again, I want to sleep at night. I want to know God's children are okay. They can pray for themselves. They read the word. They have been discipled. They are victorious. They stand strong in every sphere and everything that life is throwing at them. The scriptural exegesis this morning comes from John chapter 3. And if you read John chapter 3, it doesn't matter if you were saved or unsaved. You got saved at some point in life and then you left the gospel and you left Christ. Everybody can quote John chapter 3 and verse 16 because we were taught this as children. It stands at the heart of the gospel. It stands at the heart of the kingdom. For God so loved the that he gave. Those who believes in him, but have everlasting life. If the person next to you were baizaying, saying it, just hit them and say, you must read your Bible. You must read your Bible, please, please. That's a scripture you should know. That's a scripture you should know. But now if you read John chapter 3, I'm interested in what happens at the beginning and the end. At the beginning, you have Nicodemus coming to Jesus. Nicodemus represents the law. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's trained in the law of Moses. Nicodemus understands what it means to be in traditional and structured religion. He represents that. He represents what tradition looks like. He represents what the law looks like. 610 laws of Moses had to be upheld by Nicodemus himself. 610 laws that became so draconian in its application that it means that you can never attain the life God wants you to attain. Then towards the end of John chapter 3, we see the introduction of John the Baptist. We see him who comes out of the wilderness. Now, according to what Bible history teaches us, it says that between the Old Testament, when Malachi closes and when Matthew opens, there is 400 years of silence. Now, suddenly, we see this man called John the Baptist come in from the wilderness and he speaks the word of grace. Grace, he says, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now you see contrast. Tradition. Tradition comes to Jesus under the veil, under the covering of night. Tradition comes to Jesus and he can't come freely. He comes to Jesus when nobody sees him. And he says, Rabbi, you speak of this kingdom, but how do we even enter in? And Jesus says to him, you have to go back into the womb of your mother. No, that's what he says to Jesus. He says, you have to be born again. And he asks, but how? And Jesus says, must I as an old man go back into the womb of my mother? And Jesus says, that's not how it works. He says, but by the Spirit. He says, but by this new life, you have to be born again. So you see the contrast of for God so loved the world is between tradition and between grace. Because grace says repent. for the kingdom of God is at hand. So we are now in between the section of time. And now in John chapter 3, we see the introduction of new birth. For you and I to be born again. For you and I to step out of the veil of religion, out of the veil of tradition, from out of the veil of the night, the darkness that tradition sometimes brings. I said in the first service, there's a veil of disapproval that tradition brings. Some of us come from churches like that. Some of us grew up in churches like that. Can I even go a little bit further? Some of us upheld the laws of the church with great vigor. Some of us used to cause pain to others because the church said this. So I say, you must do this. When we grew up in church, those of you in the back of the church, in the last row, that's the row of discipline. You walk in and you see them sitting in the row, you know these ones. These are sinners sitting here. And then we walk past them and we feel good about ourselves because we are not seated here. The church is not putting us under discipline. Some of us got hurt through church discipline because they never applied the grace that comes with discipline. Only the discipline. Some people have got lost to the kingdom. Because of tradition. Because of structures. Because of us upholding a veil of disapproval that does not belong in new birth. So we see and we understand that we are now being asked to walk in this new way and in this new life and in this new understanding. We are asked to step out of darkness, and it's dark in here, but we are asked to step out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Grace finds us. You are asked to step into the freedom of who God is. You are asked to step into the goodness of the Lord your God. New birth means I cannot live in darkness. New birth means I cannot allow myself to be pulled back to the place where I come from or where I used to be. New birth means there is freedom for me. But what exactly is new birth? Number one, it's the new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed. Behold, all things have become new. So very quickly, history lesson. Paul writes this to the church at Corinth. Both books, both epistles to the church at Corinth is Paul putting order in place. Because Corinth and the Corinthian church was a disorderly church. It was a dysfunctional church. In the area of Corinth, Corinth was a port city in between Asia and Europe. And people came from everywhere. Boats and ships, they used to dock in Corinth. Across the landscape of Corinth, you would find, close to the history tells us, 1,000 temples. And Paul starts a church in the midst of many religions, in the midst of many gods. But now Paul had a problem because now they come with what they know and they bring it into church. That's why Paul, if you read chapter 11 of the first book of 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks about food and how you eat at home. Paul is now instructing them in how you take communion. He says it's better you eat at home than you eat at other people's house. Because now, now you're coming there into Janine's house and you're looking at her table. And then you say, no, no, no. My table is better. I'm going to put more on my table next week. Now it becomes a competition. Then we become rowdy at the table. Paul says, at the Lord's table, only two things matter. It's the bread and it's the wine. The bread is his broken body. He says, the cup of wine is his blood that was shed for us. He says, I'm calling you to order. Chapter 12 and 14 of that same book, he says to them, listen, I'd rather you prophesy then you speak in tongues. Because some of you, you're showing off now. You're causing confusion. You're making it about yourself. He says, I'd rather you build up the church than you build yourself. And that's why Paul writes to them and he says, now, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes and he says, God uses the foolish things. Because everybody in the Corinthian church was slaves. To go a little bit further, some of them were prostitutes. And Paul writes and he says, God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Then in chapter 5, he goes further to say, but remember now, all the old things have passed. Behold, you are a new creation. So what Paul is saying to us is, you cannot hold on to how it used to be. You cannot hold on to your religious belief systems of the past and bring it into the state of grace that is the new birth. This morning in first service, we asked the Lord for deliverance, and I'm going to say it now, from a couple of things. We ask the Lord to deliver us, yes, from sin and death. We want Him to deliver us. We want Him to redeem us from that. We want the Lord to deliver us from a religious spirit. We want the Lord to deliver us from culture. We want the Lord to deliver us from family. But why, Pastor? I made the analogy. My nephew's with me. Now my children know, they're in all my sermons. They are the cast, the main actors in my sermons. So this morning I'm standing in the kitchen and Malachi is there and he's making his porridge. He's making Weet-Bix. And Tilly, he makes Weet-Bix. Hot water, and then milk. So I asked him, why? Why are you doing it? No, Granny makes it this way. I asked him, why does Granny make it that way? No, I don't understand. I just know Granny makes it this way. Then I said to him, do you know why Granny makes it that way? Because back then we didn't have a lot of milk. I said to him, there's enough milk in the pantry. Now, it's funny, but the truth of it is, all of us are there. We're still doing things like Granny used to do it. There's enough freedom and milk flowing, but we will take how Granny used to do it. There is enough joy and peace in the kingdom. But we will take, because no, our family is not supposed to be happy. Our family, that's not what we do. We do it this way. And we keep on doing it that way. Bishop used to tell the story of the lady that used to bake bread. And she would bake it in a small tin. And when the bread blows up, she would cut off the corners. And they would ask her, but how? Why are you doing it? No, my granny does it that way. Granny never told her you can bake it in a bigger tin. There are things you are doing because you saw your grandfather and your grandmother do it, and you still perpetuate it even today. Even though you have more than enough, even though you have the money to live a comfortable life, you still live like this. The Lord needs to deliver us from even our family mindsets. And I said this to the church this morning. I say this to you. We grew up in a season of time when it was defined to us how and who we are supposed to be. We were defined by our race and by our culture. They said this group stays here, that group stays there, and that group stays there. And we are still raising our children on what they said we are supposed to be. The Lord doesn't just deliver us from demons. Sometimes it's not even a demon. It's your granny. It's your grandfather. Did you know that? But now let me shock you. your children and your grandchildren, they're going to have you as the demon. It sounds funny, but we're already doing things. We're already raising them with a mindset of, you do it this way. When God has given you freedom. Freedom to move. Freedom to live. There's enough milk in the pantry. I am not going to shout at you if you put a whole jug of milk in that bowl. There is enough in God. He won't turn his back on you. He won't shout at you. He won't tell you, you can't have this, you can't have that. There is enough in him to live in this new birth. There is enough in God. Hit somebody and tell them there's enough in God. Tell them, don't be your granny. Don't be your grandfather. Number two, the new birth is death to our carnality and our life of sin. Romans 6 verse 10 to 12 says, when he died once to break the power of sin. Christ doesn't have to die again for you and I to break the power of sin. He did it once. And can I tell you, the moment you come to the altar and you say, yes, Lord, I receive you, he breaks sin and death over your life. You don't have to come here every Sunday crying, snot and trana, and saying, Lord, forgive me. If he says, I have forgiven you, you are forgiven. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also could consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin in control. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its sinful desires. We make excuses for every kind of sin. Even now, the church don't speak of sin. We call it mistakes. We call it transgressions. We call it, no, we have our issues. We have our struggles. Family and friends, we will not hold up to you a model of living because no man is perfect. I cannot hold myself up to you as a model of living because I am not perfect. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. I am not perfect. But what we hold up is Jesus. What we hold up is this call to this new life he's calling us to. What we hold up is this understanding that we are to flee sin and lustful and sinful desires. It's possible. Some of us will say, it's not possible, Pastor. You don't understand the depth of my addiction. I understand because there's people in this room that will tell you that this addiction is genetic. But how, Pastor? Alcohol fetal syndrome? If you're an alcoholic, you come from an alcoholic family, that is injected into your DNA. Because what happens? It changes the chemical balance of your life, the hormonal balances of your life. Addiction in terms of substances, the exact same thing. Freedom from addiction, freedom from alcoholism is a decision you make in Christ. It's a decision you keep in Christ. I said this in the first service, and I've said it many times before. My father decided not to be an alcoholic. You know why? Because he saw alcoholism destroy his father. I have uncles, I have cousins that are deep in the bottle. Family members that are deep in the bottle. One man in his whole family decided he's not going to do it. You are saying to me, but Pastor, you don't know the weight of sin. I understand the weight of sin. The Bible declares to us in Hebrews chapter 12 that there are sin that easily ensnares us. Each and everyone in this room, you have a sin that ensnares you all the time. My sin is not your sin. We can't sit now and compare sins. Which one is bigger? We all have sin. Because the outward actions of sin is what everybody focuses on. But nobody focuses on the corruption that's on in the inside. I can have the biggest smile on my face and you will never say that this pastor, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't do any of those things. I still don't go to the casino. So even all of those things that you do, but you don't know, maybe my heart is bad. Because when you experience me, you don't get any love from me. You don't get any, there's nothing. This guy, there's nothing. We focus on the outward things when the inward man is wasting away. New birth says we are free. Number three, it's calling us out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Peter the apostle writes, you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show the others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God is a God of freedom. He's a God of light. There can be no darkness in him. We read the scripture from Peter. Peter says there's no shadow, there's no turning within him. He is a God of freedom. My brothers and my sisters, the situation outside of you may be one that you cannot change. There are things we cannot change, but we know the inner peace, the inner reality of victory that he gives us means that if we are in a situation where victory is not on the outside, it's at least on the inside of me. I stand firm. I stand strong. I stand believing that God is in control of everything. Some of us always want to see it on the outside. We always want to see it. It's natural. It's human. We want to see things change. But you see, this thing about the new birth, it's the inner change. It's the inner peace. You don't sound like you used to sound. You don't think like you used to think. You don't act like you used to act. Life is different. Everybody else is losing their minds. You standing there, and the Bible says he keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So when everybody else loses it, he's keeping me in perfect peace. There is greater victory on the inside of you than what the world can ever provide. There's greater grace on the inside of you that the world can ever give us. That is why we must recognize this morning, he's calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's spiritual in nature. He's creating, he's passing us from death to life. He's passing us from darkness to light. He's passing us from slavery to freedom. It's a new birth. It's a fresh start. It's a new beginning. I said at the first service, and I'm going to give you this challenge. This week, when things and people complain, can I ask you to be bold this week? So when people complain, I want you to be the bold one. And you just say, only the Lord can change this. You see, nobody clapped for that. Because you know, in and amongst the people that you complain with, if you now had to come and say, only the Lord can change this, they look at you like, what happened to you? It takes courage and boldness to be different. It takes courage and boldness to go against the flow of life. What's your assignment? Only God can change this. Because if you say it once, it's going to sound funny. And they're going to look at you funny. If you say it consistently, they're going to say, but you know, this one, things is better this one. It's fine. Keep saying it. Because what you're doing is you're planting the seed. You're planting the seed. The problem is we think we must now sit there and watch the seed. I told you the story of us during December planting grass. And I recognize when you plant grass, any type of grass, if the grass is brown, you can actually revive it. Because you have to look at the soil. You turn the patch of grass over. You look at the soil. The only time you cannot revive grass is if the little roots are already dead. Then you can't. But if there's enough soil on it, and if there's enough watering that happens, and the Bible is clear, Paul says, you know what, we plant, we do what we need to do. He says, it's the Lord that waters, and then it's the Lord that watches over it. We get so bogged down by wanting to watch the seed now. I've planted it, so I'm waiting now. Some people, you've planted the seed, you will never see the harvest. But they will know who planted the seed. Your duty, my duty is we walk out of darkness. We walk into light and we tell the world, only the Lord can change this. Some of you are saying, Pastor, you're asking me something very difficult. There's nothing difficult to it. What will new birth do to you? New birth makes you a member of God's family. Right next to you now, let's just look around you quickly. These people, you know them from nowhere. They have their own story to tell. But the Lord brought you and I together. I know who my mother and my father is. But the Lord gave me spiritual parents I never thought I would get to know. That's what new birth does. It gives you a family. It gives you people in your life that you have nothing in common with but Jesus. There are people in this room, your church family, they're closer to you than your own family. You know why? Because of what Jesus has done. Because of what new birth has done. Some of us, we walk into a church like this and we walk in and we feel alone. You must never feel alone when you are amongst the children of God. Because we've all walked out of darkness into His marvelous light. The time that I have left, let me give you, how do you get born again? You believe that Jesus died and paid the penalty for your sin. You confess your sins to Him and receive His forgiveness. You repent, and you only repent once. The next of it, you confess. You receive Christ by faith. You receive His forgiveness, and you say, yes, Lord, I will live for You. Unfortunately, I don't have enough time in terms of the sermon to flesh out as much as I would like to. But I'm not going to give up the opportunity for those that want to step into this new birth. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because this morning in the first service, we said, yes, the Lord must deliver us from our sinful nature, but all these other things as well. If you want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do so. I'm going to ask you to leave your seat where you are. I'm going to ask you to take a bold step towards the light, toward God's freedom in your life. If that is you, would you please stand up very quickly, move your way, make your way. Then also for those of you that have been far from God and you want to return back to Him, I invite you to come. Very quickly. Thank you very much. I think they're coming. Come on, put your hands together for them. Thank you very much. Pastors, leaders, please come. Come on, church, clap for them. Clap for them. New birth. Wow, a whole group is coming at the back. Pastors, leaders, please come. Let's move quickly. Stand with them. I want you to raise your hands for me. And I want you to say after me. Say, Lord God, today I turn to You. I want this new life. I want to walk out of darkness into Your marvelous light. I want to receive more of You. A new identity. A new heart. A new spirit. I confess my sins before You. Forgive me. I receive your forgiveness. I confess you are Lord over my life. And that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, amen.